John the Baptist's ministry was a precursor to the coming of Christ. One of his overarching themes that he speaks about again and again is this need for repentance in our lives. This call to repentance is often the beginning to a spiritual journey of renewal. To repent means to turn away from whatever is keeping us from Christ. For true conversion to be possible, we need to keep moving towards Christ. We need to turn away from our sins and repent. When we do this, it removes obstacles that stand between us and God's grace. I often use this idea of if you hold a bucket under a faucet, you know, the water gets into the bucket, but if there was a cover over the bucket, it would stop the water from getting in. And that's kind of what sin does. It's that cover from our souls. It covers over our souls so that God's grace can't get into our souls. And so we need this removal of that cover. That's when we repent. We turn to the Lord. And repentance is an act of removing that cover, that barrier, so that we can more fully receive the graces that God is offering us. I know for myself, my own personal journey of living as a Catholic really became more important to me, you know, more intentional, once I became more aware of this need for repentance, and I began to really make use of the sacrament of reconciliation. That was an important step for me as I journeyed towards God and also kind of thinking about what is God calling me to do? What is He calling me to live this life about? So the sacrament of reconciliation, also known as confession, is part of this ordinary way that we're called to be repenting in our lives. So it engages that repentance. It allows us to move past these barriers. So what do we mean by ordinary? It means that the confession as a sacrament is what Jesus established for us in the church to heal us of our sins. Now, does it mean that it's the only way? Well, not necessarily. Can sins be forgiven in other ways? Yes, I would say yes, but confession is the easiest way. And it's the most clear, and it's the only way that we can repent where we have certainty that we have received forgiveness. An example to flesh this out a little bit. Say a person was on a desert island, and there were no priests around, and they made a perfect act of confession, in the sense that they had true and perfect contrition in their hearts. Now, in this case, they'd be forgiven. They should, if they were, really having that full contrition, go and seek confession as soon as possible if they ever escaped the desert island, for instance. Now, perfect contrition arises from a love of God, in which God is loved above all things. Perfect contrition would lead us to confess our sins as soon as possible. Now, there's love for God also, and this is where we talk about the need to have love for God is important, and that would be perfect contrition. There's also something called imperfect contrition, and that's where we're motivated out of fear for God. You know, I'm afraid of what my sins mean. I'm afraid of punishment. I'm afraid of things. And so I go to confession because I don't want the consequences of my sins. But this perfect contrition says, I love God so much that I want to be fully united with Him. And so therefore I confess my sins. Now say a person in the midst of a struggle with sin, suppose for instance that a person is struggling with an affair or something like that. They know it's wrong, and so they go to confession. They make a good confession and intend to stop the affair, but they have what's called imperfect contrition. So they know that it's wrong, and so they confess it. And that's all we really need for confession to work. That's why God gave us the sacrament, because He recognizes sometimes our hearts are divided. He recognizes sometimes it's a struggle. And so we need this grace, this special grace that's given in confession, so that we don't need perfect contrition. We have this imperfect contrition and it still works. So that's the beauty of confession, is it allows us, wherever we are, to meet the Lord, and He makes up the difference. With the sacrament of confession, we have this imperfect contrition and it works. Now, because God knows our need for extra graces, He helps us to fight these sins, and He gives us that powerful means by which we can combat our own brokenness. Of course, we hope that that person is able to avoid sin, but Christ recognizes that sometimes it's an ongoing battle, it's an ongoing struggle, and sin You know, sometimes we sin and we sin big and we need help even in the midst of our struggle. We need to have contrition or this sorrow for our sins, and we need to test those sins. In other words, we have to hate our sins. That's why in the act of contrition we see, "And I detest all my sins because of thy just punishments." Now see, in the prayer, it distinguishes between the imperfect and perfect contrition. I detest my sins, but most of all because I love thee, my God, who are good and deserving of all my love. So the difference there. Now, people, both Catholics and non-Catholics, will often say something like, "Why do I have to go to a priest to confess my sins? Why can't I just go right to God? You know, it'd be so much easier, so much simpler." Some people will say even things like, "I love going to those group penance services where we all write things down on a piece of paper and then we put it in the barrel and then they burn it or something like that." Well, there's nothing wrong in principle with that in the sense that, you know, it's an okay gesture to do, but our sins are not forgiven by that sort of thing. There is something called Form 3 penance, and this is when a priest gives absolution to a whole group of people. Say, for instance, the world is about to end right now and we knew about it. We could do this. We could say, I'm gonna pray the absolution prayer and we're good to go. But this is for things like we're going into battle right now and we don't have time to hear all the confessions, or the plane is going down or something like that. And if we survive such a situation, then we're obligated to go to confession anyway. So that's what Form 3, that's kind of, it was sort of for a while in the church, some priests kind of encouraged this. I don't know why, maybe because they didn't want to listen to all the confessions, I don't know. But that's not really allowed, or it's not really something that the church does, except in the grave necessity. So, why do we have to go to a priest? First, I think there's a psychological aspect where we have to admit to another person that, yes, I have sinned, I've done something wrong. And this is challenging, yes, of course, no doubt. But remember that if it makes us uncomfortable, it tells us something about what's happened in our lives. It has challenged us and is helping us to hopefully avoid this in the future. And if nothing else, it is a real and tangible experience that I have ruptured the relationship between myself and God that sin causes. And we need to help repair that rupture, and that means by going to the Lord and saying, "I admit my fault," and we do that in the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, doing it in the presence of another person brings a level of reality to what we have done and what we are doing. It requires us to move outside of ourselves and our own thoughts. It allows us to consider, am I really sorry for this? Is this something that I've really considered? Secondly, in Scripture, Christ gave the apostles the ability to bind and loose sin. John chapter 20-23 says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, and if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So why would Christ give this authority if it wasn't meant to be exercised? In James we hear in chapter 5:16, "Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed." So this is meant to be a normal part of the Christian life. It's that part where James is speaking about what we do when we're sick, or when we're suffering, or when we're in need of healing for our sins. So what it comes down to is God told us to do this. This is what he said. You know, you have to do this to get healed. And we are the body and soul, so we engage both body and soul so that we can receive that reconciliation. We turn back to the Lord in a spirit of repentance. And this manifests itself in our confession and our reparation for our sins. So making a good confession requires that we make a good examination of our lives. Looking back and remembering the sins we have committed and having sorrow for our sins. Sin is kind of like a disease or a cancer. If we don't get it all out there, then we're still affected by it. We're still inflicted by it. So withholding sins intentionally from confession invalidates our confession. Now sometimes our sins, as we reflect on our lives, there's kind of layers, and we become aware of something after a while, or after years sometimes. And we have sorrow for that thing after a while. For example, a person maybe lived a wild life when they were young, and maybe they did drugs or different things, and for many years they were having all these kind of things, and they had children, and they eventually settled down, and they confessed their drug use. They said, you know, I did this when I was younger, I had problems with this or that or the other thing. But maybe for many years it never dawned on them that their actions really affected their relationship with their children or with their spouse. And so it's not till later that they realize, gosh, you know, this really had an effect on me, and I need to confess this so that I can be freed and healed in that area in my life. So that's something that they might bring up later, and God will forgive them of that. So that's a different kind of example where we can experience that healing. Now, if it's been a while for us, maybe it's been, you know, a long, long time before, since the last time we went to confession, I just say three things. First, don't sweat it. Don't worry about it. Your sins aren't that unique. Your sins aren't that special. They're not that different. So you're not going to surprise the priest. You know, they say, and I agree, after a month of being a priest, you don't hear anything new. It's all the same. So, you know, it's not a big deal. Come on in. And the priest isn't going to be like, hey, I remember what you did. You know, it's, first of all, there's the seal of confession. And second of all, you know, you have to listen to so many confessions that you don't really remember anything. Secondly, try to do a thorough examination, but focus on the big things. What are the things that are on your heart, the things that maybe have caused you shame or fear or anxiety or have held you bound? Those are the things that you want to be free of. Those are the things that you want to cast off. And it might take a few times of going to confession to penetrate those layers, and that's okay. And thirdly, I just say, don't be nervous about doing it right. You know, sometimes we get so worried, like, oh, I don't know, I don't remember how to do it. It's been so long, I don't remember how to do it. That's okay. I mean, first of all, you can get a little guide online or something, or, you know, sometimes the Knights of Columbus print off something. You can get a little guide, but if you come in there and you don't have any idea what to do, the priest is gonna be okay, right? He's gonna say, okay, we'll walk you through this and we'll get through it. It's not a big deal. So I use the example, you know, sometimes we go through life and it's like we have a backpack and we start loading things in there, and eventually that thing is so heavy and it weighs us down. That's what our sin does. It keeps us from really being able to live life in a joyful way, in a way that gives life and is full of vivacity and all these things. So we need to dump that out. That's what confession is. We just go and we dump out all the things that are bothering us, all the things that are causing us problems, and we're free then to move on with life. So basically the priest is just like the garbage man. He comes and takes the garbage. That's all we do, right? So it's not, we don't have to worry about it so much. We don't have to think so much about it. It's just this action of giving it over to the Lord and allowing the Lord to take it away. Having a regular habit of confession is an important part for any Catholic. Whether we go once a month, every few months, or weekly, what's right for you will depend on your state in life, you know, the stage in where you're at in your conversion process, and, you know, it's going to be different for like a teenager versus somebody who's 90 years old or somebody who's in a nursing home or something like that. It's going to be a different need there. But the important thing is that we are intentional about keeping the flow of grace open in our lives. Sin blocks grace. And sin can send us to hell. So we need to counteract the effects of sin. And the tool Christ gave us, the tool that Christ gave the church, is confession. So in summary, take some time during this Advent season. Take some time, reflect on your life, and make a good confession. It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile to be free of our sins and our burdens and to find that joy that God wants us to have. So that's a simple reminder of why we have confession and why we have to make use of this sacrament. O Lord and Master, I am unworthy both of heaven and of earth because I have surrendered myself to sin and I have become the slave of worldly pleasures. Yet since you created me and since you can shape me as you want, I do not despair of salvation. But made bold by your compassion and love, I come before you. Receive me, dear Lord, as you receive the harlot, the thief, the tax collector, and even the prodigal son. You love all people, so pour out your love upon me, lift for me the heavy burden of my sin, and cleanse every stain of unrighteousness from me, and wash me white with the waters of holiness.